Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today's date is July 11th, 2013. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and here's a look at some of our top stories.
Tonight, Obama signs an executive order to allow the shutdown of all U.S. communications. Meanwhile, the IRS is training their agents with AR-15s. And a Democrat representative in Illinois calls for troops on the streets of Chicago. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Well, it's something Alex Jones has been warning you about since the passage of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and President Obama has finally laid the final piece of the puzzle. Here it is out of the Examiner today. Obama signs executive order to allow shutdown of all U.S. communications. And this came out of a link from RT. RT has reported that a secretly unannounced move, President Barack Obama signed an executive order giving the Department of Homeland Security, that's your friend Janet Napolitano, the ability to shut down all of the United States communication systems upon his request. Yeah, just upon his request. There it is. Now, the reasoning behind this executive order is that he feels the government may one day need to access all of our telephones, computers, cable communications in the name of national security, which he's already doing right now. So I don't see what the difference is, why he even needed this executive order. Maybe it's just to add cover. He goes, oh, wow, the Snowden thing came out. I better put out this executive order just so we keep everything hunky-dory. But this is something we've been talking about for years. If you go back and watch Police State 4, Police State 3, I believe some of it's in 9/11 Road to Tyranny, all of our communications are being grabbed, and they have been for a long time. They built rooms in the telecommunications hubs of all the major phone companies to tap us anytime they want. They can do whatever they want, and this just lays it all out. This goes in hand with the internet kill switch that's going on. And here's the title of his emergency statement, his executive order, Assignment of National Security Emergency Preparedness Communications Function. That's what he calls it. And the fact that our nation needs so much national security is puzzling, given the fact that President Obama has declared himself a leader on the front that has ended terrorism in the U.S., and it seems like now more than ever our nation is in peril, according to the State Department. But from who? From what? Who has the technology to attack us on our communications level? The Afghanis? The Iraqis? No, we've bombed them back into the Stone Age. The Chinese? No, they build most of the technology we use. Maybe the North Koreans, but they probably can't even get their rockets off the ground. Never in the United States history has a president given himself the authority to shut down the entire nation and immobilize the citizenry. And that was out of the Washington Examiner, taking a page. The link actually originally came from RT, but you can go, all the links are there to go look at the executive order, read all about it. And I would encourage you to go check out Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, either get the copy at our InfoWars store at InfoWarsStore.com, or go see it online. I believe it's on the Change the Channel website on YouTube, or on the YouTube site, and you can watch it there. Towards the end, there's a whole section on the NSA communication takeover, and that was made back in 2009, even before Edward Snowden's time. We're going to move on to some gun news now. Illinois rep calls for troops on Chicago streets. This is from Kurt Nemo, came out today. Representative Monica Davis, a Chicago Southside Democrat, has demanded that the governor of Illinois deploy state police and National Guard on the city's violence-wracked streets. I am requesting with this press conference that Governor Patrick Quinn order the Illinois National Guard and Illinois State Police to come to Chicago and work with our mayor, Rahm Emanuel, to provide safety for the children. I'm calling on the National Guard to come to Chicago and ride up and down the streets. You know, I was back in Chicago a couple years ago in 2010. I was watching the National Guard ride up and down the streets conducting different exercises of going door to door, searching for terrorists, searching for meth labs, taking out terrorists. They were doing training with the Boy Scouts. And they also had Polish troops and Polish Secret Service and Polish FBI in there on the act, you know, teaching them how we do things in the new Stasi America. But this is nothing new, calling for the National Guard to come out to Chicago streets because there's so many victim disarmament zones. No, back in 2008, Governor Rob Blagojevich on Wednesday signed a new law that will put tougher penalties on selling guns to minors, blah, blah, blah. But he also said he might be able to free up some resources to get troops into hot zones. Okay, and that was back in 2008 he was talking about that. Now, 2010, 2 years later, Well, there's more calls. More state reps came out, and we actually have a clip of this from 2010. This is off a YouTube video called National Guard to Start Patrolling Chicago Streets.
State representatives,
let's go to that.
State Representatives John Fritchie and LaShawn Ford are calling on Governor Quinn and Mayor Daley to deploy the National Guard to help the city's police department combat the shootings, killings, and crime sprees plaguing some Chicago neighborhoods.
When you have a police department that is offered help, I'd be hard-pressed to understand why they wouldn't accept that help.
As much as I'd like to have as much help as possible, I'm not sure that mixing the National Guard with local law enforcement is the solution.
Yeah, there's a voice of reason there. Mixing the National Guard is not the solution. When I was in Detroit with Aaron Dykes, we were shooting a bunch of B-roll of the Detroit decay. We actually saw a sign there that said, where are the troops for us? And it was written in graffiti on a sign. They actually wanted troops in their streets as well because they think that's going to keep them safe. They think having troops running up and down the streets, pointing guns at people, terrorizing them, taking from their homes, like what just happened in Boston, what happened in Katrina, is going to keep people safe. And what did they do? They just went into the areas where they knew people were living and had guns and went and just confiscated people's guns. And that's just going to make the crime rate explode. It always does. That's why Chicago has the problem that it has, because there's so many victim disarmament zones. And so what do we have now? We have Jacob Sullum off of Reason 24/7 blog. Illinois has become the last state to legalize concealed carry. Finally, some people are getting some sense into the people there in Illinois saying, hey, listen, we need to start offering, you know, concealed carry. We need to start letting people arm themselves and protect themselves. Because if you don't, only the criminals are going to have the guns. Let's go into this article right now. The Illinois legislature overrode Governor Pat Quinn's veto of a bill allowing state residents who comply with certain objectives to carry concealed firearms. Illinois is the last state to impose a blanket ban on concealed carry, is complying with the December decision in which the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit said that that policy violates the Second Amendment. And just having a license, making you carry a license, violates the Second Amendment. It should be anybody's right to carry a gun to protect themselves. But we'll go on. It is known that the shall issue policy as opposed to a may issue policy. The new law gives the Illinois State Police 6 months to make applications for concealed carry licenses available. And so what does Rahm Emanuel do in response to that? He wants to create more zones, more gun-free little areas in Chicago where criminals know they can rob you because you're not going to have a gun because you're going to be following the law and not carrying your gun into that area. And this is from Ammo Land. It was posted on Infowars.com. Rahm trying to circumvent new Illinois concealed carry law with bogus gun-free zones. The Illinois legislature overrode Governor Pat Quinn's veto of a bill allowing state residents who comply with certain objectives to carry concealed firearms. And Breitbart reported this on June 26. Illinois is the last state to impose a blanket ban on concealed carry, is complying with the December decision in which the U.S. Court of Appeals said it violates the Second Amendment. Of course, that's what it does. This means a parent with a concealed carry permit who wants to walk their child home to keep him or her safe, well, they'll be out of luck because they will be following the law and will not be bringing their guns into the victim disarmament zones, and the criminals who want to prey on people like that, they're not going to follow the law anyway, so they don't even really care. But we have this thing where the government wants to be able to carry guns at all times and put them in your face and terrorize you. One of these agencies is the IRS, you know, but they don't want you to have your gun. They want you to jump through special hoops to get guns. They want you to, bow down to all their victim disarmament zones. Well, here we have IRS won't say why agents are training with AR-15s. This is posted by Jim Hoft, and Fox Carolina reported on this, and we're going to go to that video right now.
Congressman Jeff Duncan wants to know why he saw IRS agents training with powerful semi-automatic rifles. Duncan says he witnessed the agents firing AR-15 with 30-round magazines at a Maryland federal law enforcement training center last month. Duncan was touring the facility with Homeland Security officials as part of his investigation into the amount of ammunition purchases the agency conducts. Well, now he's investigating why an agency that collects taxes needs agents armed with such big guns.
Well, people are going to start getting tired. I guess I can answer that question. People are going to be tired of paying their taxes to a government that is spying on them, that is using that money to create drones to spy on them and bomb little children and innocent people in other countries. They're just going to get sick and tired. They're going to get mad as hell. They're not going to take it anymore. And then they're going to stop paying their taxes. So you're going to have these goons from the IRS, these parasites, these despicable people going around and putting guns in people's faces, killing Americans who don't want to give their money up to, you know, the government who's just doing evil things with it. I have a friend who hasn't paid his taxes in years, and he was a veteran. He actually went and fought for this country. He actually was training death squads, he found out later, at the School of the Americas. And now he goes down and every year he protests that. But he refuses to pay his taxes. And it has been a burden on his life. He's not allowed to get a decent job because eventually the IRS catches him and forces him. They try to garnish his wages so he moves on. But, you know, he's mad as hell and he's not going to take it anymore. That's what's going to happen. That's why you have them training with the AR-15s and buying all these bullets, because people are going to stop paying their taxes. That's coming right down the pike. Moving on, and we have a bunch of articles about the Zimmerman case up today. I just grabbed one of them, and it's with this judge who looks like she got her White House talking orders from the White House, trying to compel Zimmerman to get up on the stand and defend himself and open himself up for cross-examination, violating his Fifth Amendment. She says, you know, you don't have to answer any questions, but I'm going to start asking you questions. And here's the article from Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones. Judge in Zimmerman case pressured by Obama administration. Speculation is raging that the judge in the George Zimmerman case could have been put under pressure by the Obama administration after she staged a bizarre outburst during which she interrogated Zimmerman while repeatedly silencing his lawyers. And here is that clip.
Ed, have you made a decision, sir, as to whether or not you want to testify
Your Honor,
in this case?
I object to that question.
Okay, overruled. Have you made a decision as to whether or not you want to testify in the case?
I object to that question. I think that's Mr.
Overruled.
On Mr. Zimmerman's behalf, that decision.
I am asking your client questions, please, Mr. West.
I object to the court inquiring of Mr. Zimmerman as to his decision about whether or not to testify.
Your objection is overruled.
You do not come into my court and tell me what to do. I'm going to railroad this jury into a guilty verdict if it's the last thing I do, Mr. Lawyer and Mr. Zimmerman. Now, would you just answer some questions, Mr. Zimmerman? Look at that lady. I bet she's really proud of what she does. She probably has a very uninformed jury sitting there, too. And one of the things that actually you get with every order at InfoWars is this little citizen rule book here. It's not very big, not many pages. 60 pages, but 60 very small pages. You can get a 10-pack, a 20-pack, and let me just show you what the first section is. Table of contents. Section 1, a handbook for jurors. Oh, look at that. It talks about jury duty. You are above the law, your jury rights, the law of the land, the Ten Commandments, the Communist Manifesto, and how all that works into the way juries are framed these days. Jury tampering, giving up your rights, a jury of your peers. Basically, everything that you need to go in there and basically take over a jury. Okay, we've had a couple jurors. One was a grand juror, Hoppy Heidelberg, who we've had on this show many times. He's dead now. God rest his soul. And he talked about how they gave him a jury handbook, and he actually read it. He was one of the grand jurors on the Oklahoma City case, and he started asking questions and wanted to bring in witnesses, and they said, you know, Mr. Heidelberg, you know, they went to his house. The FBI agent said, are you going to cause any more trouble? And he kind of laughed it off, like, you don't scare me, you little punks. He's like, I know what's in the book. I read the book. We also had another case. David Knight interviewed this guy, the New Jersey weed man, who actually was able to get jury nullification in two cases against him. So it can be done. All you have to do is inform the jury. Are you yourself become an informed juror? Okay, if you're on a jury, pass out some of these citizen rule books to the rest of the jurors. Explain you guys have the right to look at the law and the facts, not just listen to the judge, ramrod her decisions down the throat that are coming from Washington. And we covered earlier, I think it was yesterday with David Knight, how the Justice Department was actually funding protesters to come down. They're setting up infrastructure so people could protest this Trayvon Martin situation, which is just blown into a huge story, which normally this thing would not have made it out of the statewide news, but now it's huge news. Moving on to a Breitbart story. California Senate passes bill permitting non-citizen poll workers. And they have the sign here, vote aquí, which also means vote here. Senator Norma Torres, a Democrat from Pomona, who placed the Botana bill before the Senate, said that the non-citizens could help the 2.6 million Californians whose English skills are limited. These individuals have an absolute right to make fully informed voting decisions on Election Day. I wonder what they're going to be telling them to vote for. Vote for them to take your guns and more entitlements, because that's why they're there, to get those guns and get those entitlements. And I'm sorry, I don't think you should be able to work at a polling center for the United States unless you're a United States citizen. I don't think you should be able to vote unless you're a United States citizen. That's how it works in every other country in the world. I can't go to Libya and vote in their elections. Why should we let people from Mexico come and vote in ours just because they decided they want to move here? No, you become a citizen, then you get to vote. That's how it works everywhere else in the world. Why do we have to be different? Because we're so free and we have so much money that we can just pay all these entitlement programs. Interesting. A group that has been working on this voting situation, they've gone in and tried to get vote for dead people. They've tried to vote as Eric Holder, is Project Veritas and James O'Keefe. And his new book just came out, Breakthrough, Our Guerrilla War to Expose Fraud and Save Democracy. It's by James O'Keefe, the founder of Project Veritas. And he's going to be on the show, I think, tomorrow with Alex Jones, talking about this book. But they've been doing a lot of good work, a lot of good citizen journalism, just basically getting cameras, going out there, and creating the news, because the mainstream media is not going to report on this. You know, they'll go out and report on an oil-changing facility that's ripping people off. But they're not interested in looking at the power of government and when that is corrupt. They're really not interested in that. That's not their bread and butter. It's basically to keep, you know, talk about consumer things and who's wearing what and where we're going. That's why it takes citizen journalism, which takes us to our next story. This story we put up a few days ago on InfoWars, was on the health section. And we gave it the headline, Leukemia-causing chemical is lurking in your pantry. And this is from the blog Whole Food, Real Food, Good Food. And I actually know the person who started this blog. I've known her since college. She's a good friend of my wife's. Her name is Julie Hornbecker. And basically, she was a stay-at-home mom. She started looking at the ingredients on the back of the food that she was feeding her kids and her husband and started doing research on it. She uses Natural News a lot. She tells me she's a big fan of Mike Adams. And by doing all this research and stuff, she goes, you know, I ought to share this information with people. So she started a blog with the help of her husband and some other people. And now she writes articles. She puts them up. Now, the one thing I do want to say, Julie, if you're out there watching this, your headline needs a little work. We can go to her blog right there. Her headline is sodium benzoate. That doesn't make me want to read the article. The whole article is about sodium benzoate. I guess that's how you say benzoate, and I guess that's how you say it. But when I looked at it, I read the article, and I said, this is what the headline we're going with. I sent the guys the link. I said, give it this headline. Leukemia-causing chemical is lurking in your pantry. Because it has in there, in this article, that they stopped using it in rubber manufacturing, the benzoate, when rubber workers in there were getting leukemia, and these mass amounts, just massive amounts of leukemia was going on and cell damage. But this chemical is more toxic than high fructose corn syrup. And it's used as a preservative in acidic products. And when it mixes with vitamin C, which is in a lot of acidic products, it creates benzene, which is a cancer-causing chemical. So on top of it causing leukemia, it could also cause cancer, and it's in a lot of stuff. So you ought to start looking at the back of those labels and start realizing what you're putting in your body. Start putting organic food into your body. Start drinking clean water. Get it filtered. We have products at the InfoWars store to help you out with that. And do your own research. Here's a stay-at-home mother who just decided to do her own research and put out her findings. And it's funny, when her article got linked on InfoWars, she called my wife and said, I think I did something wrong. I put an FDA quote in there and I'm getting tons of hits. Was it because of that? I said, no, you got the InfoWars bump. That's what happened. Because we have a lot of people that come to our website who are hungry for real knowledge. They're not looking for who's wearing what and who's kissing who and this and that, which you find any other place. They're looking for real knowledge that they can use in their own lives and how their lives are being affected. That's why, you know, when InfoWars has a big celebrity on, people don't care that much. You know, people just want information. The people that come to our site and the people that share information, they want real information. And that's why this article is so good. And it's somebody out there just like you who just decided to start doing it. I've been watching a lot of these Paul Revere entries. And one of them that I'm going to get David Knight, I think he's doing the news tomorrow, to play, is one where they just show nightly news clips, one after another, where they're all saying the same exact thing. And it's not just at the same station. It's different stations in different cities. You can actually see the talking points. And he does it not just one time. He does it five times during this video. And it's like an eight-minute video. He just puts them all together and just shows you how the media is brainwashing you. Because that's what they're doing. They have teleprompters. They have scripts. They're all reading the same thing. I don't. If I went and did the news again, I would probably say everything in different ways and bring up different points that I have. Because that's how my mind works. I don't have to write this stuff down because I've been living it for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years working here. But even before that, I've been hungry for this information because you can't find it anywhere. You just can't. So it's good to see people out there really doing their own investigative work. People like James O'Keefe and my friend Julie over in Virginia, who's doing her own blog. It's great to see people getting out there doing citizen journalism. That's why you need to carry a camera with you everywhere you go. Now, before we go to the quote of the day, we have a really interesting special report, a little news blurby, as done by Leanne McAdoo. It talks about head transplants and, and another good use for the 3D printable computer. And we go to that report right now.
In this week's Weird Science, technological advances are revealing some real-life Dr. Frankensteins. Full human head transplants could be coming soon, according to a recent paper in Surgical Neurology International. Scientists have done head transplants on animals for the past 40 years, but they were never able to connect the spinal cord of the head to the donor body, and this left the animals paralyzed from the neck down. But Dr. Sergio Cannavaro said the technology only now exists to reconnect surgically severed spinal cords. With a donor and recipient in the same operating room, surgeons cool the donor head between 55 and 59 degrees Fahrenheit. Then, both heads must be rapidly removed at the same time, reconnecting the head to the donor's body and circulatory system within 1 hour. Once the head is reattached, the heart can be restarted, and doctors can keep working to reconnect the spinal cord. Cannavaro says the procedure requires an ultra-sharp blade. The clean cut is vital to spinal fusion since it creates a seamless edge that encourages the body's natural healing process to fuse and reconstruct. Full head transplants could help paraplegics and people with muscular dystrophy who could benefit from having an entirely new body. Buttercup the duck can waddle and swim thanks to a prosthetic 3D printed foot. The bird, who was born with its left foot turned backwards, could only hobble around until 3D printing company Novacopy was called in to help. The company made a 3D model of Buttercup's sister's foot, then printed the prosthetic out of silicone. And the first IVF baby to be pre-screened for pre-existing diseases has been born in the United States. Connor Levi was born on May 18th after a Philadelphia couple had cells from their in vitro fertilization embryos sent to specialists who checked them for abnormalities. Scientists looked at chromosomes in the embryos to select those with the proper chromosome count for a better chance of leading to a healthy baby. Baby Connor demonstrates how next-generation sequencing is poised to transform embryo selection. But the prospect of designer babies is unlikely anytime soon. According to fertility specialist Dagan Wells, IVF is still expensive and uncomfortable, with no guarantee of a baby at the end. I can't imagine many people wanting to go through the strains of IVF for something trivial. For the InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Leanne McAdoo.
So I guess when we elect the next president, we should just take the head from the previous president, just put it on the new president, and people won't notice. They'll probably even love it. They'll probably think it's a big novelty thing. We just rotated the heads of our presidents. That was some great graphics there, Leanne. Good job on that report. We go now to the quote of the day, and it is from Frederick Douglass. Where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe. And that was Frederick Douglass. And I've got this cool piece of artwork here of Frederick Douglass. And we're going to have a new kind of entertainment, pop culture type wall. And we're going to have a ton of these up. A lot of political figures. But look at that. Look how that shines. And that's done by a local artist, Frank Trevino. We have been plucking his talents and getting him to just really work on some really cool pieces. We've got some amazing art. I can't wait to show this wall off. I've been moving the pictures around. We're about to put it together, and that'll be one of the next sets that we're going to have here at the InfoWars Nightly News. And that's not even our big set that we're working on now. That is going to be tremendous, and I can't wait to show that one off. That's all I'm going to say about that. And coming up, right next to me, I'm going to have, I guess, one of the original NSA whistleblowers, Wayne Mattson, who's been talking about the NSA spying, the wiretapping, all this stuff, the tapping of the cable, the undersea cable, for years. Now we finally have our poster boy, Edward Snowden, out there, so now it's all credible, and the stuff that he's been saying and others have been saying is now validated. We now have names and dates to go along with that. And then after that, to go with that special report that we just did, Gigi Arnett is going to be interviewing a young man who decided to implant magnets into his ears so he could listen to music anytime he wants without using headphones. He's also got some other applications that he wants to use with that technology, but it's technology he created. It was his own decision to do this. He's kind of, I would say, a first-degree transhumanist, if you're going to have different degrees of it, with, you know, the 33rd degree transhumanist would be the guy that, you know, has half cyborg, half real, you know, carbon-based brain. But anyway, that'll be coming up after the Wayne Mattson interview. It's going to be a long show. Had a great news segment here, and we're going to have a really, we just did the interview with Wayne Mattson. That'll be coming up next. Really big stuff coming down the pike here at InfoWars.com. So we do appreciate your support, especially those PrisonPlanet.tv members. If you are watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of Prison Planet TV. You got the Alex Jones Show, the nightly news, the special reports, the movies, the rants, the ebooks. It's all there. Brothers in Arms there is the third installment where I actually got to shoot the 50 cal. And that was really, really fun, impressive. That thing is a hand cannon, to say the least, and I would not want to be on the receiving end anywhere near that that type of weapon. So we will be back right after this message. If you're not a Prison Planet TV member, please consider becoming one. It's only $5.95 a month, and you get a 15-day free trial, and you can share your username and password with up to 11 people. So that's a good way to spread the knowledge. Good way to get the information out there. Good way to take this country back and take the world back, because if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for us. We are the only hope for the human race, because the globalists are out there trying to destroy it at this moment. Every breath they're taking, they're trying to do it. So we, with every breath we take, need to push back and stop it. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Now you can watch the InfoWars nightly news streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
Are we choosing our own paths, our own destiny, or has it been pre-selected for us?
C.S. Lewis said, when training beats education, civilization dies.
We need to always be cognizant of, as a free society, that information can be used as a weapon.
Barrier to discovery is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge.
We are seen as nothing but biological androids.
To gain control of education in America, not for a philanthropic purpose, but to change the thinking of the American people.
From the time we're very young, we're taught to, you know, worship authority, basically, because that's our key to survival as young children.
Discover the history, the present, and the future of mind control. From compulsory state education to the Hollywood media brainwashing machine, we are kept in perpetual bondage to the ideas that shape our actions.
In the CIA, scientists could actually film people who had been surreptitiously dosed with LSD.
There's a brain entrainment process that takes place.
That gives the government free rein to create whatever story or narrative it wants to create.
Whatever the public face of something is, whatever they're talking about publicly, there's something else over here they're probably not looking at.
How to engineer the opinion of the American people so that they would fully endorse, not only endorse, but demand a war.
When you watch mainline establishment television, you are putting yourself in front of the barrel of a gun.
Discover the history, the present, and the future of mind control, psychological warfare, brainwashing. Are we controlled and manipulated? You bet.
That's mind control par excellence.
Find out how deep the rabbit hole really goes with this new groundbreaking documentary film, State of Mind. Available exclusively at InfoWars.com.
Because there's a war on for your mind. That has been our motto here at InfoWars for my 18 years of battle against the globalist. And now we see the open announcements of global, private, corporate tyranny over our governments. That's what the New World Order is an unaccountable, private combine of organized crime engaged in corporate takeovers of nation states and the conscious attempt to abolish basic rights and fundamental liberties. InfoWars.com is not just leading the charge against this here in the U.S. or North America. We are leading the charge worldwide. And that's because our listeners, our viewers, our supporters, fellow freedom lovers like you across the planet resonate with our message of liberty and telling it like it is. And that's why for the last 2 years especially, I have thrown everything I've got, my time, my energy, our backup capital, everything into really trying to awaken the sleeping giant that is humanity. And that's why the July issue that just came in a few days ago is so important. We've already sold about half the stock we have of it at cost in groups of 10 up to 100 in bulk. It covers the entire NSA spy grid, how it ties in worldwide, how it's not about stopping terrorists, but about suppressing and dominating and controlling the free press and political opposition. And in this magazine, we don't just have 3 free bumper stickers like I did a few months ago. We have 10 bumper stickers, 4 full-size ones with amazing messages guaranteed to get people thinking like America has been occupied by globalist forces. InfoWars.com. Listen to Alex Jones at InfoWars.com. InfoWars.com. Forbidden information. Listen to Alex Jones. InfoWars.com. And then on top of it, 6 medium-sized bumper stickers with the message as well. These are key to post in legal and lawful areas on your book bag, your computer, your car, or to give friends and family. I have printed 500,000 of these bumper stickers. Only half of this month's run of magazines has them. So when you purchase them in bulk or you're a 12-month subscriber, you will get the special issue. And I can't afford to do this every month, so it's going to be quite a while until we do this again. Please take advantage of this. Buy them in bulk and give them to your friends and family and encourage them to get these bumper stickers out, because with 500,000 stickers, we can reach tens of millions of people with the message of truth. They want to collectivize us. They want to bankrupt us. They want to drive us into their arms to control us. They want to dumb us down. But the sleeping giant that is free humanity is awakening. So I want to thank you all for your support. I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com and to get a 12-month subscription or to give a gift subscription. Imagine 12 of these coming to your friends or family's door to wake them up. Or to give a gift subscription to the local police department or your local congressman or woman. This is how we're going to affect change, voting with our dollars and voting with our time. Again, visit InfoWarsStore.com today to subscribe, to get the magazine in bulk, or to give a gift subscription, or to give yourself a subscription to wake up friends and family. I am all in. I am committed 110% to not mince words and to not back off and to boldly confront the globalist. So I want to thank all of you that have supported us in the past, and I want to encourage all of you out there who may be on the fence that know this information is true but have been scared to take action. You had better be scared of not taking action and letting this monstrous system come to fruition. Now is the time to commit. Now is the time to say which side of history you're on. Now is the time to stand against the globalist and the New World Order. And regardless of whether you get this July issue, this July 4th Resistance to Tyrants issue, spread the word about liberty, resist corruption in your area. Millions of us doing little things can move mountains together. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com and the InfoWars team.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Due, and we're about to go to a very special guest who we flew in from parts unknown on the eastern side of the United States, and that is former NSA worker, basically our own, he was our Edward Snowden before Edward Snowden even existed, because a lot of the stuff he brought up and talked about with Alex and that Alex has brought up is now finally coming out. We're getting names to these things. We're assigning dates, but the information was already out there. But before we go to our guest, I want to play a clip. Just last week, he was attacked by several Daily Beast and Washington Times reporters over a story that was eventually proven to be true. They just wanted to attack the messenger like they normally do. So we're going to go to that clip right now. This is from unreliable sources.
Things took an odd turn this past week when its sister paper, The Observer, ran a front page story that claimed European officials had reached a secret deal with the NSA to turn over private data to the USA. Now, that sure sounds scandalous, but here's the thing. The article based its claims on a single, very unreliable source, a notorious conspiracy theorist named Wayne Madsen, whom reporter Jamie Doward never even spoke with. And not surprisingly, the article was eventually retracted, but not before it made the rounds on the Internet, even receiving a coveted Drudge Report link.
The coveted Drudge Report link. Oh, my gosh. Wayne Madsen. So, and if you go and watch the rest of it, we can pull up the article there where it's at. These reporters really lay into you, your credibility, you know, you claiming 9/11 was an inside job, all these other horrible things that we have intelligence reports on and stand-down orders and other government officials saying it was. Yet these guys went after you. So what was the big deal? What was the big deal?
Well, first of all, you know, for them to call themselves reporters is laughable because one of them is a guy named Michael C. Moynihan. I mean, right. The guy is a political hack. He tried to break into journalism by going where every aspiring American journalism goes, Stockholm. Where he worked for an NGO called Timbro. Now, this is a free market think tank that's been linked to Karl Rove. Yeah. So this guy's obviously a GOP neocon hack. He's attacked others. Now, what this was all premised on, this CNN hit piece. This used to be the show run by Howard Kurtz, who basically got run out of there because he made several attacks. I mean, he's another hack. Howard Kurtz had that show for years. Mm-hmm. What he didn't advertise was the fact that he was married to a Republican operative. This is the problem with the CNNs and the Foxes and the MSNBCs.
The problem with all the mainstream
media. All of them. They don't come clean. They don't say who they're connected with. So the Observer contacted me because I had provided them two declassified documents. There was all this talk about the tapping of the transatlantic 14 cable that goes from Germany and Denmark down to the Netherlands and France over to Cornwall and England, and then goes to Tuckerton, New Jersey. And how Edward Snowden said, "Well, you know, they're doing metadata collection off of this cable," and he came out with the name of the cover term, Tempora, which was new. We didn't know what that was called.
But we knew it was going on back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And on February 4, 2009, I talked about how the NSA was using metadata collection to get emails, which is exactly what he said was going on with the cable. I provided the Observer with two declassified documents. One that shows definitely that the NSA has third parties. We know who the second parties are.
Right.
That's the English-speaking club. That's the U.S.'s first party, the second party, Canada, U.K., Australia, and New Zealand. Third parties are mostly NATO allies, non-English-speaking countries. And I showed the Observer these documents. One document showing there were third parties. It was actually titled Partners and Targets. So this gets into the issue about, yes, France and Germany are partners, but they're also targets.
Right.
And the other one I showed him was the SIGINT exchange descriptors used for each of these countries. And the different countries have different descriptors. I think Denmark is called Dynamo. That's the cover term. NSA's full of these cover terms, by the way. In 2005, I provided a list of over 400 of them. Some of them we've seen on Snowden's list. Some of them are new. Right. It came up since. So a lot of this was known. The Daily Beast guys, Moynihan and this guy Josh Rogan and this guy John Avlon, all
we had a picture of that.
Noted neocons, by the way.
Right.
They were part of this small group They get on Twitter, they get on Facebook, they get on all this social, and they attack people.
Right.
One of the guys runs this website called Little Green Footballs. This guy, Charles Johnson, apparently he's some ex-band member with Chicago. You know, a lot of these guys are kind of fried, brain fried former band people who, you know, can't succeed in the music business anymore and they become political pundits. I don't recommend that, especially if you got a history of heavy drug use. And your brain is basically gone. We got enough brain dead politicians without having pundits come along out of the rock.
Yeah, they like
band.
To party together.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so, what happened was they piled on the Observer, and the Guardian ran it too. That's a sister paper of the Observer. They made it sound like it was a big group of people upset that they used me as a source. And then you get all the crackpot allegations, 9/11 truther. And they went back and they grabbed everything on the internet. And they said that they lied. They said the Observer grabbed the information from a website run by Simon Davies, who is a former Director General of Privacy International, who I worked with on this anti-NSA stuff back in the late 90s. So, you know, this was all known what was going on. The European Union Parliament had an investigation, which we all participated in helping them conduct that investigation of NSA surveillance. But they went back and found everything I had written, and they ran this attack piece that was on CNN, and this was basically the same small group of people, the same ilk that went after Dan Rather with the Texas Air National Guard story.
Turned out to be true.
True. The documents weren't the original, but the information was absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And also they attacked poor 89, she was 89 at the time.
Let me do the famous Alex Jones interrupt. Only I can. No. I'm sitting there watching the control room down the news doing a great job and do over here. I just want to point out, because you'll never toot your own horn, that like 2 weeks after you come on my show, everything you said comes out. Tapping the cable, Europe working with them, using Europeans to spy on us, we spy on them.
Right.
Which, as you know, that was all in stuff you put out 10, 15 years ago. That was all in the former producer for Nightline, James Bamford's Body of Secrets.
It was in his books.
So when you're informed, you know these shows are lying.
Right.
I mean, it's not like I'm just believing Wayne Madsen.
Right.
And you're the guy that kept bringing out, a decade ago, all the big whistleblowers. I mean, you're the guy that's been credited with this, and they just go, oh, he's a crackpot and use a wrong name on CNN. I believe on purpose so that people can't search and find it.
Right, Michael Madsen, they came out and said.
Yeah, Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen, the actor, yeah, right.
I mean, now you're, you know, Michael Jackson. You know, the whole point is that this is big. So I just had to come in and say that. You did a great job.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, Wayne Madsen was providing all this stuff well before Edward Snowden was. And all Edward Snowden did was give us names to these things that we knew were going on.
I'm like the pet dwarf now. Anyways, hey, this is real TV, teleprompter free. Are there any teleprompters in the studio?
There are none. I see no teleprompters now. But when you're at CNN, they're all over the place.
Hey,
so those clowns, Avalon and the other Moynihan and Rogan, all had, there were teleprompters
and
present.
That allows, for those that don't know, the big guys upstairs to write the same script.
Oh,
that's why the nightly news, ABC, CBS, NBC, it's all the same order, same thing, same Prozac ads in between.
I just watched this, one of the entries for the Paul Revere contest came out, and this guy just took these clips from all different news agencies, and they're saying the exact same thing about the Easter Bunny. It's crazy. You would not believe it. And he took the time and
Easter
just,
Bunny?
About how the Easter Bunny's not going to have a spring in his step. It's worded exactly every news agency, and it's all over. He's like 10 of them. It's like 15. Yeah. And then he goes to another.
What it does is even if it's fluff.
Yeah.
That's the move to that. It allows them to totally control and put out one Borg message. Listen, get back to the great interview. I'm out there in the control room watching this with everybody else out there on PrisonPlanet.tv.
All right.
Wayne, it's always great having you in town.
Thank
this
you.
Guy, by the way, is a riot in person.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got some great jokes.
Rodney Dangerfield.
He's got some great jokes. I like the government.
The NSA doesn't think I'm much of a comedy act. But.
Right. Well, you know, going back to the newly leaked NSA slide that shows tapping, you know, the undersea phone cable, you go into this, they were talking about this stuff even before 9/11, how there was a sub out there that, and they'd figure out a way to actually go into these fiber optic lines without letting people know about it. But this is all old news. I mean, all Snowden did was just provide a cover term.
He provided some new slides, some new information to show that there, you know, this was an ongoing program.
Right.
It never stopped. It had been modernized.
Yeah.
He did give us that. And the biggest thing is how NSA is now cooperating with all these internet service providers, the Yahoos, the Microsofts, the Skypes, Google, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that too, but he showed us the slides.
He gave us the dates. He gave us everything. And
on the way in, you were in our green room over there, and you turned on your computer, and suddenly you got the vicious Microsoft update. And what happened?
My hard disk was wiped clean. It went back to factory settings.
Yeah.
Nothing that I did. This started.
They're not tracking you, Wayne.
No. We just have in the Guardian today the latest article by Greenwald and the others about how NSA and Microsoft are in cahoots with Skype getting into encrypted files, encrypted communications. We've known that for a long time, too, because Microsoft for some years has had an office across Baltimore, Washington Parkway from NSA headquarters in the business park over there. Yeah, they're on call 24 hours a day. I got that from internal people.
Right.
At NSA.
And you said that years ago.
I did.
And I mean, now they admit that all the telecoms are moving them indoors with them. But that's what the 4 or 5 years ago, the whistleblower in San Francisco at AT&T.
Klein, Mark Klein said that about the closet in the
AT&T. The secret rooms.
And then there were others all around the country that Jim Bamford highlighted later in his book. So we've known a lot of this. You know, Snowden, at least he, because of the cloak and dagger aspect of his story, you know, flying from Hawaii to Hong Kong, and we didn't know who he was, and then he says, I'm Ed Snowden, I worked at Booz Allen.
Seems very scripted.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, maybe it was done that way to get the attention of the media, because we know what the media goes after. They go after these James Bond-type situations.
Right.
Otherwise, if it's a poor guy like Klein, who was just he was an AT&T technician,
add a little element to it. You know, Greenwald, I think, did a good job at like doling out the information, and then like, now we're going to tell you who he is.
Exactly.
And that was good, but it was stuff we'd been talking about.
Absolutely.
4 years. And then the information came out after they said you were totally wrong. You know, Snowden claims Germany in bed with the NSA. Here's one. New NSA leaks show how U.S. is bugging its European allies. That's The Guardian. U.S. and EU shrug off Edward Snowden's NSA revelations to resume the big trade talk, which they want to do to basically create, you know, the next cadre of the New World Order, the next level of it, just going in to, you know, now we're going to do free trade areas everywhere. And it's just, it's ridiculous that all this stuff comes out. You know, we've been saying it for years. Nobody pays any attention, you know, when the alternative media does it. It's only when the mainstream media does it, then it's allowed to be talked about all of a sudden. But you're still, you know, you may be a conspiracy theorist if you want to talk about Michael Hastings and his, you know, interesting death.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is just so typical. CNN, nobody really watches these cable news networks anymore. Look, on the weekends they don't even run news unless there's a plane crash, and then they have the B-list of anchors on there screwing everything up like they did with the Asiana plane crash in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I mean, but normally, what do the cable news networks run on the weekends? Oh, lockup programs, repeat reruns. I mean, it's not even news. Now you get
about how drugs are good for you.
Yeah, all this garbage, and you know, they're not doing news. And then they got pundits when there is a late breaking story, a breaking story. They'll have pundits on there, like this guy that took over from Ed Schultz on MSNBC. This Chris Hayes guy. He's a pundit. Rachel Maddow's a pundit. And then they're trying to do reporting of news.
Right.
Plane crashes. They're not qualified to do this.
Right.
Yes, Cronkite was qualified to do that. Rather was qualified to do that. But these people don't exist. They've been replaced by these I don't know what the heck they are.
Rachel Maddow is qualified to get people up into a racial frenzy, especially over this Trayvon Martin thing, which it came out earlier this week that, you know, the Justice Department was actually funding some of these protests. They were actually sending money down to actually fund protests for people to just, you know, go out and just exude more racial hatred.
Let's take a local story, a local Florida story. Right. Should be the Orlando market story because, you know, Sanford is in the Orlando market.
You know, how many people are
Right.
Especially in Chicago.
Let's leave it, you know, let's leave it in Orlando. No, but somebody in New York and somebody in L.A. decide, well, we're going to make this a national story. This is nonsense. These stories never went national before these cable news networks decided we can take these isolated stories and make a big deal out of it.
Right.
And, you know, it started with O.J. and some of these other cases, but these are local stories. Nobody should care around the country about what happens in a case of a shooting in Sanford, Florida. I mean, you know, I mean, there's probably people in Orlando that could care less about what happens in Sanford, Florida, let alone somebody who lives in, say, Seattle.
But then
or
the president comments on it and suddenly it becomes a national issue.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah, Obama will comment. By the way, Obama, he did this with Bradley Manning. He said, you know, he's guilty of, you know, this terrible espionage. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to say that as a chief executive. What constitutional law did this man teach? And now he said that about Snowden. He said, we, you know, Snowden, you know, he should keep his mouth shut. He doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. He opens it when, you know, he's going to get maximum attention, but he's also, not giving, he didn't give Bradley Manning or Edward Snowden any sort of
due process
by, you know, Nixon got in trouble, Richard Nixon, when he said, you know, Charles Manson's guilty. Manson held that paper up in the courtroom and said, Manson guilty, Nixon says. They almost had a mistrial for the guy, you know, the guy that was charged with the Sharon Tate, you know, and other murders.
Well, what other kind of dirty tricks do these guys do to just, you know, and especially in the false flag realm, what do you see coming up down the pike?
Well, I mean, false flags, they say that's a conspiracy theory. You know, these don't exist. I mean, of course these exist. These have existed through history. The latest one, and I merely speculate it because of all the interest in the XL Keystone pipeline, you know, and there's a lot of money in Canada that wants to push for that. The Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, is pushing for it. He's from Alberta, where the tar sands are located. And then, you know, this train breaks loose and wipes out 60-some people,
people
are vaporized in Le Magentique in Quebec near the main border. And, you know, I said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Blackwater was hired by Halliburton, you know, one of the pipeline companies to do that. Because right afterwards we heard people who are pushing the pipeline say, yeah, you see, this is a pipeline. You wouldn't have this because the trains wouldn't be coming through, your towns with the, you know, this deadly cargo of fuel oil, that can cause this. So that's why we need the pipeline. I said, isn't that convenient that they're coming out and saying that now? And that now we know that the Canadian police have that under investigation as a potential industrial sabotage criminal
the
RCMP, act.
They said somebody messed with the brakes.
Absolutely.
So now they're looking at it like
so
that.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. A conspiracy theory? Then the RCMP must be into conspiracies.
What about Michael Hastings' death?
Michael Hastings' engine goes
in a different direction, the car rolls into a tree.
Right. You know, I mean, the engine block is found, 50 yards from the autumn.
Won't release the police report?
They never do in these cases.
The
I've covered a lot of cases like this in Washington where you either don't get the police report or you gotta know somebody on the inside that'll leak it to you. I mean, Marvin Bush, who was George W. Bush's brother, his maid, Bertha Champagne, was run over by her own SUV at Marvin Bush's home in Alexandria, Virginia, and they withheld that police report. I managed to get it, and they had old Marvin listed as witness, suspect, or other. You know, I mean, he was the only one present at the home in the home at the time when this woman's car somehow went into reverse gear and ran over her.
Right.
And there was a videotape mentioned that she had a videotape.
And who knows what she witnessed?
What was that videotape? That was in the police report. No wonder they didn't want that release.
Somebody would ask a question and they had to find it.
Right.
Yeah, there we go. Police, firefighters ordered not to speak about Michael Hastings' crash. And it's just cover up after cover up. But now we're catching them every time they do something. We're able to just come back and say, oh, we caught you. We caught you on that one.
Yeah.
Just like when these Daily Beast reporters came after you, we're like 2 days later, everything comes out that you said.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, as I said, there were only probably about six people involved in this screed against the Daily Observer. Now, it's interesting. The big German newspaper, Die Welt, also had it up on the front page. And then they broke that link. They put it back up in its original form, a picture of Angela Merkel with my quote underneath in German saying, she's like the chief inspector in Casablanca that walks into Rick's Cafe and says, I'm shocked to find gambling in this establishment. Because she said she didn't know that this espionage, this surveillance was going on. She's part of it. She's part of it. So they put it back up. Now they say she's in political trouble now in Germany. But
well, that's how they always do it. Until it comes out, they just lie, and then you go, well, here's the documents.
Absolutely.
Well, conspiracy theorist, you're looking at the documents.
Absolutely.
I got another one for you. How about the younger Zarnev brother comes into court.
Yeah.
He looks like he's been beaten more. He's in casts in his hands now, and he says, I'm not guilty.
Yeah, and it also comes out that his brother, who, you know, there's a lot of video evidence that showed that his brother was not run over by a car, that it looked like the guy was naked.
Yeah.
You know, they stripped him because
walked him into a car.
His
aunt said that was him.
And now it's come out from Boston law enforcement that he was a known drug dealer. Drug dealer, jihadist, Al-Qaeda. Yeah. Wait a minute,
he's got inside connections.
Yeah,
something doesn't.
And then Uncle Ruslan, of course, is tied up with Graham Fuller, a longtime CIA agent. Uncle Ruslan is forgotten about. I immediately smelled a rat with that when they had the helicopters in Washington flying over Uncle Ruslan's house in Montgomery County. I said, hey, Uncle Ruslan's got some money.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's not a poor guy.
Some side deals.
And you look into his background, he's heading up all these CIA-connected non-profit organizations, basically CIA giving weapons to the Chechens fighting the Russian government.
Right, and it's easy to skim a little off the top there and
buy a nice big $350,000 home in suburban Washington, D.C.
Right, and now earlier also you were talking about where Edward Snowden may have worked, and there's this hub that people don't talk about. It's an NSA-CIA kind of collusion center. Talk about that.
Speculated, you know, it's informed speculation, but when they talked about him being assigned to the U.S. mission to the U.N. organizations in Geneva, Switzerland, and that he got this information about some Swiss guy was set up, a banker by the CIA and a DWI, and they got information. You know, I said, wait a minute. The only place the Swiss Foreign Ministry said yes, he was assigned to the U.S. Embassy, so that was true.
Mm-hmm.
I said he had to have been with this group called the Special Collection Service. It's a hybrid organization. It's CIA and NSA, and they go in and put bugs in embassies. And we again knew about this from a book written by Mike Frost, who worked for the Canadian NSA, the Communication Security Establishment Canada, wrote a book called Spy World back in the mid-90s, where he explained all this about how when NSA couldn't bug somebody in the United States, they'd call the Canadians down to do it for them,
to get
around the FISA.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Thatcher got the Canadians come over and do the same thing on her own cabinet ministers. So we knew about these. We knew the code words, oratory, all these code names came out in his book. But I figured Snowden's bringing this back up to date about this organization. It's not even well known in NSA. It's called F6 in NSA. Not everybody in NSA has clearance or access for that project. But this is what it does. So, and later, what does Snowden do? He comes out and says, yes, Special Collection Services are in 65 U.S. embassies and missions around the world doing foreign satellite interception. And of course, the Latin Americans were mentioned in particular. They're up in arms about this now. But, you know, it's New Delhi and other capitals.
Well, we got to keep an eye on our petty dictators that we implant.
Exactly. But, you know, it came out we're also spying on our so-called allies.
Right.
But we've been doing that for years. And the leaders of those countries know what's going on because we give them some of this intelligence so they can use it against their political adversaries. This is why Angela Merkel's in trouble. But look, the Social Democrats, they get in there, they're going to do the same thing. We're going to give them the intelligence on the Christian, it's the elites. Now, General Keith Alexander, this is not well known.
He didn't go to the Bilderberg meeting outside of London this year, but the last five he was present at Bilderberg. What is the head of the NSA and the U.S. Cyber Command now? He wears two hats. What's he doing at Bilderberg?
Running intercept operations.
They're going after Snowden for releasing slides that say no foreign, which means not, no foreign dissemination. We got the head of NSA over there talking to the leading industrialists in Europe.
And all their secret service agents and their heads of security.
Exactly.
And it's just a big
off the record, all this off the record stuff. And this year, Alexander didn't go, but the CEO of this company, Palantir, went there.
Right.
One of the companies involved with the sock puppet operations, right? A company that was involved with HB Gary Federal and going after Glenn Greenwald when he was writing about the Bank of America. You know, so we can see what's going on here. Greenwald is being attacked by the same people that attacked me on that CNN Reliable Sources program.
Right.
The same people that attacked poor Helen Thomas when she was caught by a guy with a hidden camera inside the White House grounds. How do you get a hidden camera inside the White House grounds? You got to go through Secret Service. So, you know, yeah, people, journalists like Dan Rather, Helen Thomas, Glenn Greenwald, you know, and I'm not on the same level. I won't say that I am, but I got set up by these clowns with Reliable Sources.
Right.
But, you know, let them do what they want, because I went back to 2000, and right there in the CNN archives is I'm quoted talking about NSA eavesdropping on email.
Yeah. In 2000. Right. And that came out in this Washington's blog article, too. They list a bunch of old sources from 2004, the mid-1990s. They're talking about the special submarines. And then there's even a quote from Lieutenant General Hayden, who's the NSA chief at the time. Computing power will allow it to process greater masses of data, which he says hopes will eventually allow a single analyst to extract wisdom from vast varieties of raw information. That's where we're at now.
The Utah Data Center,
right,
NSA's
exactly.
Big 17, the size of 17 football fields, can process a yottabyte of data. That's so many zeros.
Yeah.
You can't even figure it out.
It's a lot of G-rays.
Exactly. So, you know, this is where Hayden always wanted to go with this.
Right.
And this is NSA, even when I was at NSA in the 80s, they used a term that shocked me. They said they want a total hearability for everything in the world. Remember, this is when they were intercepting radio phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
This is before the World Wide Web. We did have the internet, but the hearability, they thought in terms of listening. Rather
what do you think the little cell phones are that you're carrying around?
Exactly. They want a total hearability. That's what their goal was in the 1980s. And I said, they want to hear everything. And they said, yeah, they do.
In 2009, we were reporting about a program called Roving Bug, where the feds were actually turning on mics of gangsters so they could listen in on the phone, even if it was powered off.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was happening before that.
Absolutely. Sure. And the GPS is in cell phones today. Right. Somebody in NSA told me, look, even if you take the battery out, a lot of people take the batteries out of their phones, there's still enough juice in powering that chip, that mm-hmm. GPS, that chip, that locator chip, that three passes by a satellite, they can still pick up your location.
Oh, man.
They can geolocate you.
Totally ridiculous. Where are we going from here? When will the scandal get big enough to either bring down this NSA apparatus that's going on, or even, you know, bring down the Obama administration?
Well, I mean, the problem is, Edward Snowden is the focus. People are more focused on him than they are on the information he's released. And I don't think he obviously wants to be the center of attention. I mean, every time a plane leaves Moscow, Sheremetyevo Airport now, they think he's on it if it's heading down towards Latin America. Mm-hmm. So,
where in the world is Edward Snowden?
I know. So this is the problem with the focus on him. But I have to say, Nixon did make his disagreement with Daniel Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers.
Mm-hmm.
He made it somewhat personal on, you know, having his plumber's team burglarize Dan Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. But, you know, Nixon dealt with the Gordon Liddy's, and so there was like something in between. Nixon wanted to get all the leakers.
Right.
Yeah, Ellsberg, one of them. But Obama has really personalized this with Snowden, like he did with Bradley Manning. And Obama's coming off looking like a South Side Chicago thug going after this kind of geeky kid from the Baltimore suburbs. Mm-hmm. And I think people are now recognizing Snowden is the underdog here, and he's got support all over the world, from Latin America, mm-hmm. from Africa, from the Middle East, from Europe, from Eastern Europe, from Asia. And Obama's, you know, he was popular in some of these countries. His popularity has... It has sank.
Well, it sucks. People realize the fraud.
Right.
And that's why it's not going to be hard to make the Obama deception, too.
Yeah.
All the information's out there. He stuck his foot in his mouth. He's killing people with drones, left and right children. You know, he's going into Africa. I mean, we have yeah. troops in probably 20, at least 20 different countries and areas in Africa.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
ridiculous.
Right. And he's threatening countries with sanctions if they right. help Snowden. He's got, you know, the forcing down of the Bolivian president's airplane in Austria. One country after another closed its airspace because the U.S. put pressure on them. I mean, this is a total violation of international law. And, and threatening countries like Iceland that was considering giving him asylum, and now Ireland has said, we're not going to execute that Interpol arrest warrant. The High Court of Ireland said that. You know, all he does is respond like personally, him and Kerry. Kerry, of course, all during this whole thing with the Egyptian coup,
yeah.
and Snowden, he's out sailing, you know, just yeah. like he was in 2004. A guy who worked for John Kerry in that campaign said if John Kerry was more interested in becoming president than he was about his hair coif, he might have actually made it in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what we have. This, again, this is the elites, the oligarchs. We talk about them all right. the time.
Well, what do you think is next? What do you think we're going to have else come out of Edward Snowden's mouth, or what is he going to leak that is going to surprise people? Will they just, you know, what do you think is going to be the big shooter drop?
He's got a lot of PowerPoint slides, and I don't know whether they've actually, you know, given us every, you know, all the good stuff has come out.
Yeah.
It may be the case that I noticed, like, the last revelation was about NSA being able to intercept video Skype and encrypted communications using Skype and Microsoft products. We're getting into the more technical stuff now, mm-hmm. stuff we've already also known about. We've
right.
known them.
Yeah, we know,
but
Skype has been on the list.
You know, the important stuff, the metadata and all this capturing email. I think we're probably now into the more mundane NSA programs. I think they probably, we've heard the biggest revelations already.
Okay.
He probably has other stuff, but just looking at, I think we peaked in the revelations, and now we're getting down to the technical stuff.
Okay. Well, what's new on your plate? What are you investigating right now?
Well, I had to deal with this attack by these neocons, but the mere fact that they came out of the closet and identified themselves. One of them is a guy named Professor John Schindler at the U.S. Naval War College. He was sending Twitter message after Twitter message out, attacking the Observer, the Guardian, Greenwald. He's a U.S. government employee.
Right.
He's tied in with people we know are part of this Karl Rove operation. He's tied up with people that are known neocons. There's something called the Hatch Act. You cannot use your title. He says, yeah, I'm a professor at the U.S. Naval War College. That's his official government title.
Mm-hmm.
I have contacted the War College. I've complained about this. I haven't heard nothing back. I go back and look at, I got a certificate in international relations from the War College when I was in the Navy in 1983. It was, you didn't hear much about the Naval War College, Newport, Rhode Island, you know. But going back, it turns out when I'm focusing on the War College, it is a neocon bevy up there in Rhode Island. They had Lori Milroy as one of their associate professors. She's the one who said that Saddam Hussein was behind the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Even Peter Bergen with CNN said she was a crackpot with that theory.
Right, you know? Because we know it was the FBI.
And so we got this guy Barnett. He's another guy. He's the one who came out with this map that the U.S. will control the world in the 21st century, you know.
Okay.
All this neocon drivel and claptrap.
You mean a new Pearl Harbor.
Coming out of the Naval War College. So I'm glad the Naval War College has exposed themselves by not cracking down on the political activism and the violation of the Hatch Act. at a Navy college, part of the United States Navy. But, you know, are we going to see anybody from, you know, Chuck Hagel? You know, is he going to do anything? I doubt it, because he made his deal with the devil when he, you know, was confirmed by the Senate, close vote, but he got in there. So, you know, these people aren't going to enforce the law. Why should they enforce the Hatch Act when they're not even enforcing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act?
Right, or even the Logan Act, where the officials aren't supposed to get together from other countries in secret meetings.
Like we have Alexander going to five Bilderberg meetings.
Every year, exactly. You know, it happens in Bilderberg, and, you know, we're finally starting to really blow that out. I mean, this last Bilderberg was amazing, you know, over, you know, almost 4,000 people went there to protest. I mean, that's big.
That is big.
That's big. We're getting the regular meeting to report on it.
You know, there were only a handful of people that could go in there and try to find out what was going on.
Right. Hey, let's end with a couple spy stories. You were telling us some stories about Hayden, how you've kind of been his nemesis for years, and he sees you at events and whatnot.
Yeah, well, back when there were whistleblowers. By the way, one of the things I hear about from every journalist in Washington, for the New York Times and mainstream media, everybody's afraid to talk. You know, Obama ordering spying on the Associated Press, over 100 reporters and journalists, the guy Rosen from Fox News. Everyone's afraid to talk. No, sources have dried up. They've chilled. It's really cold in Washington when it comes to sources now. But back when I had a lot of sources at NSA coming forward, especially after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Hayden was a director, and I heard through the grapevine that Hayden wanted to be briefed on my activities once a week for his daily briefing in the morning. And his deputy, Bill Black, had to get a daily briefing. So, Hayden had a weekly briefing. Bill Black had a daily briefing on what I was doing. Obviously, my phones were tapped. Right. I was told I was in this database called First Fruits, which spied on every journalist that covered NSA extensively. And so I saw General Hayden at a White House correspondence dinner. Some people were talking, and then all of a sudden he turned around, who's standing next to me but General Hayden? And I said, you know, small talk, he says, he had retired. I says, well, how's retirement life treating you, General? He said, oh, pretty good. I said, well, I guess I kept you, caused you a couple sleepless nights. He says, oh, well, you know, it's all part of this old Washington thing, you know, like it's a big game here. It's a big game. Yeah. Well, you know, being spied on to me isn't a game.
Right.
And the next time I saw him, he had left NSA, and then he was over there at the CIA as director. And there was a big, I went to an Association for Intelligence Officers thing, and here is Hayden in the auditorium in NSA, and I'm standing there because I'm attending this thing, and he spots me and his head turned red. And he walked by, he was with some other guy, and he says, be careful, we're on treacherous ground right now.
Treacherous ground.
So, yeah, I've been some kind of a pain to Hayden over the years. But, you know, people were coming forward at NSA and telling me how he was involved in all these projects that were billions of dollars being wasted, Groundbreaker, Trailblazer, and these were all the projects that led to what Snowden is revealing
today. And they're still wasting money to this day.
Total waste of money.
You know, they're saying, I think just to get to that undersea cable and tap it, $2 billion a year.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah, so, you know, you see SAIC and Booz Allen and these other companies just making lots and lots of money.
Our money. That they're spending.
Our taxpayers' money. Yeah. It's incredible.
Wow. Well, you can, your website, the Mattson Report.
WayneMattsonReport.com.
Yeah, that's where people can find out. It's a subscription service where they can get this intel. You were writing stuff about the underwear bomber when that came out, too. I remember when that was one of the first, big false flags when I started at InfoWars. I was working on a movie and that came out. And I'm like, we got to start pulling this information.
He was allowed on that plane, that Northwest plane, with the same kind of refugee document that Ed Snowden got from the Ecuadorian consul in London that allowed him to travel to Moscow after the U.S. revoked his passport. This Mutalib guy from Nigeria was allowed on the plane to Detroit with a refugee die. He did not have a passport.
How does that happen? And with a bunk bomb that couldn't have worked no matter what.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah, that's how they do it. Well, Wayne, thanks for stopping by. And you're going to be on tomorrow on the Alex Jones Show.
Yes.
And then we're going to sit down and do a really in-depth interview with you for the Obama Deception and really get the goods out. Obama Deception 2, which will be coming out in, I think, early November.
And so that's going to be, I'm looking forward to having you on that, being part of the crew. We got a lot of great interviews, and you're really going to top it off and really bring it together because, you know, you're the original Edward Snowden. Giving us the goods, at least, and, you know, in our eyes. And,
well, at least I'm not on I'm not eating pizza in Sheremetyevo Airport in Moscow.
There you go. it is better to be in Austin, Texas at this time. And, you know, our show is not done, actually. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back with Gigi Urnetta. She's going to be interviewing a fellow who implanted magnets into his ears so he can listen to music without putting headphones in. I guess it's all part of this new transhumanist thing where people, you know, want to do different things to their bodies to augment their abilities. And he's got some interesting applications that he's going to talk about, but Gigi found that story. I said, get this guy on. Let's talk with him about this because this is all information that, you know, we should be getting out there, especially when it's on not the government level. This is like an individual who decided to do this on his own. He wasn't coerced to do it. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say about this whole process of body modification and why he did it. And we'll be able to get those answers right after this break. And one way to fund us, one way to help us out, get people like Wayne Mattson here, is through your PrisonPlanet.tv subscriptions. It's $5.95 a month. You get a 15-day free trial, and you have access to The Daily Show live, The Nightly News live, all the special reports, all the movies, the rants, the ebooks. Everything is there for you, and you can share your username and password with up to 10 other people. So you can have 11 people using your username and password on at the same time, all watching. And, you know, if we get enough people doing that, hopefully we'll start crashing our servers, and then we'll have to get bigger servers and get more because more people are tuning in to Prison Planet TV. It's great working here. I'm having a blast doing this, like really exposing what is going on out there that the mainstream media won't do because they're funded by giant pharmaceutical companies and toxic chemical makers and, you know, basically the worst of the worst that's out there. We're funded by the people and by the products we sell that we think are good and that you need, especially like water filters. So with that, we'll be back after this brief message.
Now you can watch the InfoWars Nightly News streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
Johnny Appleseed was born during the Revolutionary War. He's not just a legend. And in more than five states, he introduced apples that had not even been grown in the colonies. Later, the seeds from plants he planted and cultivated and some of the varieties he developed spread across the United States. And it was Johnny Appleseed teaching the colonists and then the new Americans after we won independence the love of planting fruit trees that introduced that idea to North America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Become the Johnny Appleseed of your community with seeds from the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com.
The simple act of planting fruits and vegetables and then tending them and taking care of them and then sharing them with friends and family is a revolutionary act against tyranny. The globalists, first and foremost, do not want us to be self-sufficient. The crony anti-free market capitalist, the fascist, are using socialism and collectivism to shut down societies. Stalin in Poland and in Ukraine and other areas, starved on record more than 10 million people over 5 years by not letting them grow their own crops and collectivizing them. Mao killed between 65 million and 80 plus million people doing this same thing. The UN says they will use food as a weapon. They use genetic evil to attack the earth, and major GMO companies have been caught going into growth belts around the world, even where GMO is illegal, and planting seeds everywhere to infect the genetics of the original crops. Almost all of the thousands of varieties of Mexican corn has been infected. They are in a genetic war against everyone. That's why we have to get these seeds and not just plant them on our own gardens and not just give them as gifts to friends and family to plant spring and summer and fall gardens. I'm calling on you to go out into the green belts, to go out into the areas and plant secret gardens. No, not of marijuana, but of the hundreds and hundreds of incredible high-quality vegetables and herbs and fruit plants that are here. Lemons and oranges, the list goes on and on. They will grow plum trees, grape trees. They will grow almost everywhere in the U.S. We can literally, not just buying these products from InfoWarsStore.com, but from wherever you get them. This aggressive program literally just came to me one morning when I woke up about 4 a.m. realizing that we've got to counter their genetic war against us with original, real crops developed over eons on this planet. We have the lowest prices. We bought it in the biggest bulk that some of these companies have ever seen to ship this directly to you from the InfoWars Command Center. We stand for life. We stand for liberty. We stand for self-sufficiency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, click on the Seed Center, and as of taping this, we have the 7 top respected brands. We intend to continue to do research and find other companies, other specialties, other varieties to really take action.
The InfoWars Store Seed Center has the largest online selection of heirloom non-GMO seeds.
Check out these products from our newest supplier, Heirloom Organics.
The Medicine Garden for a natural remedy.
The Tea Garden that contains every important tea herb you can grow.
Fruit Lovers with 12 varieties.
And the Tobacco Pack, additive and pesticide free. Join the gardening revolution today at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is a revolutionary action we're asking you to take. Plant seeds everywhere today. Nurture them, bring them to fruit, and pass on the knowledge to others. Become human again. Discover your roots in the soil. And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
Today we're going to be speaking with Rich Lee. He's a biohacker, a transhuman of sorts. Now he can hear with his ears and no headphones. That's right, he can hear his iPod without headphones. Rich Lee has implants in his ears. He has invisible headphones. He can hear music without them. And he has a magnet on his finger that he can actually put up to his ear and hear the music. So let's talk to him right now. Rich, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So what gave you the idea to modify your ears and tell our viewers a little bit about what you have in your ears?
Okay. Well, as far as the idea, I've always kind of wanted bionic ears. we have a biohacker forum, and some people were talking about a method to receive audio into your skull.
So you said that there was a forum for this kind of thing. How did this come up to put magnets in your ears, though? I'm sure there are other parts of the body that you discuss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of other parts of the body that we discuss. In fact, I've got probably about 122 different modifications and things like that that are in some form of development at the moment. But the ears specifically, there's some biohackers that were attempting to implant some bone conduction devices that would allow you to receive audio directly into your skull.
And now, has that been successfully done, or?
There's actually a commercial device out there that does exactly that. So it's definitely possible. In fact, it's probably a better way to do it than what I've done. But, curiosity just kind of got the cat, and I just decided to do my thing. So, the way I got my ideas online, there's a device that I saw. It's often advertised as like an invisible earphone device. You can get them on eBay for like $25-$30. It's essentially a coil that goes around your neck. It plugs into your phone. It's got an amplifier on it. And, it's got some magnets that you put into your ear canal. And your audio goes up, instead of going into some earphones, it goes into this coil. It causes a magnetic, field to form and makes the magnets vibrate. And, that actually creates sound that comes from the magnet. So you can buy these things online right now, and you know, you don't have to implant them. You just stick these little magnets in your ears, and nobody really knows you have them. A lot of people use them to cheat on tests and things like that.
So I'm curious, can you hear better with them, or?
When the thing is going, well, right now, you know, I'm kind of surprised, how much attention this got. I wasn't really trying to promote this or draw attention to it necessarily. It just kind of happened. It was kind of something beyond my control. But this is stage one. In fact, what I'm working on right now is a method to completely hide this coil. But as far as hearing better and things like that, yeah, that's going to be, essentially whatever I plug my device into, I'll be able to send whatever signal into this coil. So if I plug it into, directional microphone, you know, I'll be able to point it in a general direction and be able to hear, conversations across a room or whatever.
That was the next question. I was going to say, can you eavesdrop or spy with that thing, with those magnets?
Yeah, you bet. It's going to be even better once the coil is implanted next to my magnets. And I'm not talking about the large coil that you may have seen around my neck. This is going to be a very small coil, just next to my implant. And it's not going to be noticeable either. Actually, I'm experimenting with another type of coil that might really make some headlines. We'll see, but, sorry, back into what
that's okay. I want to keep talking about this coil. No, you're doing great. The coil. Do you have anything, do you have anything in front of you right now that you can show our audience?
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, I've got my first prototype coil, right? This is, the one that I wore around my neck. I just bought this online. Nothing fancy about it. Just a coil of copper wire, and put it around your neck and plug it into something, and it works. So, but we were talking about eavesdropping. That's right. Yeah, I will have enhanced hearing, and in fact, I've got another device that I plan to implant too that allows me to hear through walls. And, in fact, I can hear through your rib cage and listen to your heartbeat.
What other kind of spying can you do? You said you would be able to eavesdrop. Tell us a bit more about that.
They've got like an electrolarynx that, somebody might have if they're, have had a laryngectomy, you know?
Right.
They've got some versions of that take an ultrasonic tone that's emitted from your voice, where your vocal cords used to be. And translates that into audio. So, and then a mic will just kind of like emit that. So the idea is that you have this subvocal mic here or whatever this thing for the larynx is or whatever. And so you act like you're saying something, right? And it picks up just the ultrasonic frequency that nobody can hear with their ears and translates it into audible audio. And then, you know, you could technically use the telephone. If you have an implant like mine and somebody else has the same setup, it's kind of like I can communicate with somebody through my phone without making any noise, and they're going to hear it in their ears and communicate back to me. It's kind of like telepathy.
That is incredible. That is incredible. Are you concerned at all that the government might be after you for being able to do what they've been doing to us, basically?
Well, they definitely make it hard to do what I'm doing, and a lot of the things that I do in biohacking are kind of underground. I mean, it's kind of an underground movement. I honestly don't care about the government. I mean, if they got to me, they could try to rip my implants out of me. I guess, you know.
They'd probably just be mad at you because you took control over something that they can't put their hands into, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. The tides are turning, I think.
Yes. So tell me more about transhumanism or the groups that you go to. What are people wanting to do? What's the goal behind changing your body for enhancements?
Well, you know, I think everybody has a different goal. you know, different transhumanists have different goals, to be sure. Some people don't want to live forever. Other transhumanists definitely want to live forever. Some want superpowers. Some don't. Some are content to just improve modern medicine so that they can have a better standard of life. And really, there's a broad range, broad spectrum there. What I'm hoping for is hyper-diversity in our future. I'd like to see the human race go in a million different directions, you know, and look vastly different from one another. I mean, now we have levels of diversity that are nothing, you know. I mean, we're all pretty much the same. And I mean, we really pick on each other for the small differences. And it's easy to be a bigot, but I'd like to see a day when we all really are so diverse that it really gives a new meaning to diversity.
Well, it definitely makes you stand out. What does it feel like to be the pioneer in this area for hearing, per se?
You know, I really don't consider myself a pioneer. In fact, most people with modern hearing aids can essentially do the same thing that I'm going to be setting out to do too. You know, if you have a cochlear implant, you know, with Bluetooth, you can do pretty much anything that I'm going to be doing, you know, hooking up my coil, the different sensors and things like that. So I don't really consider myself a modern pioneer. I do hope that, anyone else seeing this would take interest and get involved and go out and make all kinds of crazy implants and let's get that hyper-diversity going.
I know you mentioned you were planning on doing something in the tune of a GPS, maybe a radiation detector. You have either, sure. Do you have needs for a GPS? What is it exactly you're planning on doing?
Well, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you know, you can go onto your GPS on your phone and type in directions, and it'll give you a set of directions.
Right.
People in cities use the walking directions a lot. I've used it on multiple occasions where, you know, you're on foot, and they know that, and they say, oh, take a left here, take a right here. And, you know, instead of plugging it into headphones, you just it just goes straight to my implant. And, you know, I'd be able to navigate different areas and things like that. So that's kind of the GPS end of it. But the good thing is I turn off my phone, the GPS is done, and the GPS isn't tied to my implants. So it's not like I can be tracked by the implants that I have in.
Well, that's good.
The radiation detector, you know, and this is really part of, for me, it's a part of being transhumanist, I guess, but there's an entire world that's around us that we don't see, we can't perceive, but it will kill us. If you see some live electrical lines on the ground and, you know, you don't know they're live, you go to pick them up, sometimes you can't tell by looking at them, you know, that they're live. I mean, sometimes they're twitching or whatever, but they could kill you and you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know better. You'd just pick them up. There's radiation that's all around us and, in different areas. People in Chicago will kill each other using radiation. They'll put a microwave up to the wall in, you know, facing the apartment next to them and, put a pin in the microwave oven door and put the thing on high and give each other brain cancer through the wall. And nobody ever knows. Nobody ever knows what's going on. I mean, if you have a radiation detector, you could detect those things. So, and, anyway, I mean, there's a huge spectrum of, just all kinds of activity that's not perceivable.
How would that work with your ear implants, though?
Okay, so the way it would work is it would just kind of send a signal, like a buzz or something like that. I program it to make a buzz, like a buzzing sound, when I'm by something that's producing radiation. So you'd have it hooked up to like a Geiger counter or something like that. You know, so if I don't know, if you live close to Fukushima or something like that. Or
massive power lines, right?
right.
I suppose you could probably also, it's like a cell phone going into a radio, you know, when you're in the car and it makes a noise. I guess you'll at least be able to detect if there's wireless or signals through your ears.
Sure. Now, I do need another device in order to do that, you know, so, and A lot of people have asked me actually if I get any kind of interference and things like that through the implants. And at this point, no, because you, even with a coil on, if it's not connected and going to something, there's never any interference. I don't get a buzz in my ears or anything like that. There's a big lightning storm going on right now, where I'm at. And, you know, no problems. A lot of people are concerned for me for that, but it's no big deal. And MRIs is the other big thing everyone's worried about. You know, what if you have to get in, you know, do an MRI? I've had a million emails about that.
What about the TSA?
Yeah. You know what? These things are so small. I can get right through TSA. Now, I haven't been since I've had my ear magnets, but I do have another magnet that's implanted in my finger that I've had for a few years now. The story behind that is implanting a magnet into your fingertip, allows you to sense, electromagnetic fields. In fact, it kind of will feel like there's a texture to them. The reason is in your fingertips, you've got these really rich nerve endings. And, once you implant this magnet, the nerves kind of grow around it. You can swipe your hand across something. And if it's got a magnetic field, you know, you'll feel it shake. You'll feel the magnet inside your fingertips shake. So when I was testing out my coil, I found that if I put my magnetic fingertip into my ear, I could hear music coming out of my, or whatever audio coming out of my fingertip. It was a cool experience. So,
can you pick up anything else with the electromagnetic field? Like, have you gotten anything strange?
Like messages or communications with strange entities and things
like that.
Or
maybe even satellites. Who knows?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay.
But you know, I will be able to at some point, depending on what kind of antenna I hook it up to or sensor, things like that. In fact, I've got a pretty lengthy list of things that I'd like to explore. There's some neat stuff going on in the terahertz range. So.
Have you tried anything new? Any new experiments since you've gotten your magnets?
Well, I mean, just a few, you know, the ear magnets, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I've done like a lot of audio experiments and things like that. I'm still testing out different coils, different shapes of coils and things like that to see how that impacts sound quality. Also, I found that, the size of the magnet, will cause the audio to, be different. So, you know, smaller magnets make a higher pitch sound. Larger ones kind of make a deeper sound. So I'm considering implanting more magnets in my ears just to make get a broader range of sounds going.
Do you ever have to replace the equipment?
No, actually. I mean, technically, all medical implants at some point will have to come out. You design so that you know you can get as like a maximum lifespan out of them, but. Okay. In the end, I mean, you can talk to anybody who designs them. If you have a hip replacement, it's going to have to come out at some point.
So you'll have to upgrade at some point.
Well, I mean, they'll have to come out, and at that point, if I can upgrade, I definitely will. In fact, if an upgrade becomes available, I'll probably be proactive about it and implant it.
Where did you go to do this?
You can't just go into a doctor to do these things because they doctors are only concerned with elevating for people from the status of cripple to normal, right? So you go in there and you say that I want this thing that's experimental and I want you just to implant it in my ears, and they'll just laugh at you. So we use body modification artists.
How do you find them?
You can find them. you go online and find them. I've got one guy that I use named Steve Hayworth. He's very well known. He did my magnet, my finger, and he's really good. So
for our viewers out there who might be thinking about making a modification, what would you suggest? Do you have any tips?
You know, I'd say be bold. I'd say just do it. I wouldn't let anybody tell you that you shouldn't do it. It's your body. You've got every right to do it. I especially wouldn't let somebody tell you that, especially don't let anybody tell you that you should be less of a person, right? Just to make everyone else around you comfortable. We're to the point right now in science that we can make people better than human. You know, we can make them superhuman, but we still continue to give them, just bring them right up to the level of normal. You know, you give a guy a hearing aid, you know, or say you give a guy eye surgery, you know, you could give this guy better than 20/20 vision. You could make this guy have eagle eyes, you know, or maybe not that far, but, you know, you give a guy a hearing aid you give him a standard one. That's great. But, you know, this guy should also have this thing equipped with Bluetooth, and he could hear, he can make phone calls from his hearing aid and things like that. There's so many small things where we could just go ahead and, you know, give this person some kind of an added benefit instead of just, replacing a function.
So you want to see everybody with a better quality of life.
Yeah. I also want to see a weirder quality of life. Because, I mean, come on, we're all pretty much the same, you know, right now as it is. I mean, how many people do you know that, you know, can detect, microwave radiation, you know, or things like that? I mean, and who knows what happens in those worlds? I mean, we have an idea, of course, but it's you develop an instinct when you're working with, sensory input from things that you normally wouldn't deal with, like a magnetic field or something like that. You just develop this new kind of sense for it and a new set of intuition.
You're talking about intuition and sense. How do you feel about uploading consciousness to the machine per se?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's going to happen. And, I know a lot of people are scared about it. And, I mean, even in transhumanist circles, you know, it's something that's debated a lot. If this, if you get, continuity of consciousness, I think, for me, my opinion on it is, it's not anything to be afraid of, because, you know, if you upload your mind, well, then technically unless you destroyed your body in the process, well, pretty much you have two sets of consciousnesses now, right? I mean, you got part of your brain in a computer, and you got your meat body. So,
but do you actually think your actual consciousness will go up, or do you think it'll be a copy or a duplicate of sorts?
Well, that's the thing, is like, if you disconnected the original that you uploaded it from, then it's a copy. So this is just my opinion, and people probably go crazy and post their opinions about this from transhumanist community. But, you know, what I think is, you upload your mind and if you disconnect from that computer, then, you've got two different entities that are still alive, right? And one's a copy of you, but that copy is like its own individual from that moment on. I think that it's possible to have two bodies and one mind and receive data from another body.
Well, that'll be something to look forward to, I think.
I think so. I think it would be pretty wild.
Well, will you keep us in the loop and let us know if anything else happens?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well,
I should also mention, too, because we totally skipped over this part, but I do have an eye condition.
Yes.
And I'm blind in one eye, and I'm going to go blind in the other eye. It's a matter of time. So part of this coil's function was to, I'm going to hook it up to a ultrasonic rangefinder and use kind of the beeping noises that it'll make to be able to echolocate and move around objects without sight. I don't plan on being blind permanently, so nobody worry. I just need a cornea transplant. It's a bit out of my budget at the moment, but anyway, I'm being proactive about that upcoming event, and want to learn how to navigate around without using my eyes.
Are you working with somebody in tandem with somebody?
With this project?
Well, yes, with your eyesight and the beeping noises.
Oh, yeah, actually, there's a few people that have already developed products like this. So really it's a matter of just plugging it in and going. I work with another group of biohackers that has developed a similar device. Instead of having it go to your ears, it sends a beep to the magnet in your finger if you have a finger magnet. So, you know, you could scan an area and a small pulse will be relayed to the magnet in your finger, and you can tell how close an object is, you know, in relation to you, or if something is coming up really fast on you, things like that.
Will you equip your house to be able to handle that too?
Yeah, that's going to be tricky because these rangefinders don't pick up Legos, which is a thing that I step on quite a bit in my house.
Legos, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another interview. It was great talking to you, Rich.
Yeah, good talking to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Well, you just saw what we thought was science fiction turned into reality right here on the show. And check out more about it. Go to the InfoWars store, that's at InfoWarsShop.com, and check out Robot Alchemy. Before you get too far into the transhumanism movement, check it out. Don't go too far into the rabbit hole without seeing all the things that can happen. Robot Alchemy at the InfoWarsShop.com. That's it for the nightly news. Thank you for joining me. I'm Gigi Urnetta.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.